Open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Galatians, Paul's defense of the gospel. There is an argument in this book with false teachers. Those false teachers have confused the minds of the Galatians. The Galatians are the forefathers of what we know as the Gauls in France. They were not necessarily real peaceful folks. But they received the gospel when Paul preached to them. Impressionable they were. And then when others came and preached another gospel, which Paul said is not another, they also embraced that. And when they did, Paul then addresses them as foolish Galatians. I think we could very well come to most churches tonight and say, oh, foolish whoever. Because, believe it or not, the modern church, in spite of all the teaching, in spite of all the appearances, and in spite of all of the availabilities of the Word of God, are still embroiled in everything but the gospel of the grace of God. Now that's a shame, but it's so. Most churches you walk into, they talk about the grace of God, and they even preach the grace of God, but they live under the law. That's hypocrisy. That is great hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, in this very book, Paul dresses down Simon Peter for his hypocrisy. Can you believe that? One apostle dressing down another apostle because Paul said he was wrong. And he was wrong. Now, if Simon Peter could be wrong, then could you say that maybe we are wrong in some things? I've often said, in spite of all we know, when we get to glory, we're going to find out that we didn't know it all. And we're going to find out some things that we thought we knew were wrong. So isn't it great the Holy Ghost is still around to guide us, direct us, and teach us? With your Bibles open to chapter number 3, I want to at least begin to address this thought tonight, if I may. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now Paul said the preaching has been so plain that you have been able to recognize, if not with your naked eye, with the eye of your spirit, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now having known that, surely you ought to have sense enough to rely on that truth. But that didn't happen. This only would I learn of you. Watch the question now. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive Him because you worked to receive Him? Absolutely not. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith? Paul's argument is against the law. Now hear me tonight, listen to me carefully. His argument is against the law. If you'll back up some. In verse number 16 of chapter 2, Paul said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, how about that? There's a lot of study that needs to go into that statement, the faith of Jesus Christ. I think we have been, as Bible students and as Bible teachers, I think what we've done is we've tried to minimize this little statement and say that it is the ability to have faith in Christ not necessarily the faith of Christ. But I beg to differ with that. That's not what the text says. And that's not what the text says in five other locations in this Bible. That it is the faith of Jesus Christ. I like to think of it like this. I like to think of it as the faith of Jesus Christ, not my faith, but His faith. Now let me show you why I like this. My faith has literally wavered from time to time. Has yours? Have you ever gotten in a place to where you have wondered how this thing is going to turn out? Rather than depending on God, we, like Abraham, want to try to fix the situation. And every time we try to fix the situation, guess what happens? We throw the proverbial monkey wrench into the gears, don't we? And mess things up. But the faith of Christ has never wavered. Now, if my salvation is based upon my faith, then I'm going to be a doubter all of my life. But if it is based upon His faith, there is never a reason for me to doubt. I am satisfied that Christ is in reality the epitome of faith. He believed the Father. Without any question, He believed the Father. You and I still have problems with that. Well, Brother Lay, how could you have a problem with that having all these years? Listen, I'm telling you, we're all human. When you woke up this morning, you woke up a human being. And that human being is fallible. The frailties of the flesh affect our faith. But let me assure you that the law cannot save you. What is the gospel that Paul preached? Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. He preached that the law is impossible, is without any power whatsoever to save humankind. Look at these verses that are before us, verse number 16 of chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law shall no flesh. Are you hearing me? That means no matter who you are, even the very fact that no one has ever kept the law except the Lord Jesus. But those who have come near it, if there have been any, could not claim any justification because of the law. Now Paul used the argument of Abraham. Was Abraham justified by the law? No. Abraham came 400 years before the law. So then, Abraham's faith is counted to him for righteousness, not his works. Your work can never satisfy the demand. But in verse number 17, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. You see, the argument goes on. If the law can do it, then why did Christ die? He goes on to even say that. Look at verse number 21. If the law can do it, then why did Christ die? Christ is dead in vain. If the law could have saved us, if the law could have given us the gift of the Spirit of God. You meet folks all the time that are trying to perform, trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now remember I said to you fruit, the Scripture says fruit, singular. Lists several things, but it says fruit, singular. What we must do is strive to be filled with the Spirit of God, not strive to produce fruit. The Spirit only can produce the fruit. Now, if you'll think about that, you'll learn something. By the way, if you learn that, it'll release you from the bondage of the law. For you'll realize that you cannot produce what only the Spirit of God can produce. So that it is determined that the Spirit alone can produce this fruit. And He produces it through us. Thusly, we must but be the vessel in the hands of the Spirit, and God produces then the fruit through us, by His Spirit. Not through my actions and my doings, but through the Spirit of God within me. So then the argument goes on. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, if I'm involved in trying to do the law when I've said that Christ alone can produce this reality of actually obeying the law, then I myself have destroyed everything I've said. I've become a sinner myself. Now Paul says it this way, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. If you'll major on that very statement for a moment, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. If I am crucified with Christ, that means I died with Him. What an argument. Let me ask you a question. We have before us tonight, in our imagination, a casket. In that casket lies a human being. Blue lights show up in the parking lot. Policemen come in and look at that fella in the casket and say, you just broke the law. What effect does that have on that man? If you died with Christ, listen to the argument, then the law can have no effect on us because we're dead. How can the law, which is the minister of death, have an effect on a dead man? A number of years ago, one of the dearest fellows in our church in Florida passed away. He was from Augusta, Georgia. His family lived there. And we had a funeral service for him there in Florida. And we were going to Augusta to have another funeral service later on that same day. And the funeral director came to me and he said, Dr. Larry, are you going to drive up to the funeral or are you going to fly? I said, no, I'm going to drive. He said, let me ask you something. Would you mind helping my driver drive the hearse? I'll pay the expenses. I'll buy your dinner. I'll do all this if you'll just help. I said, I'd be glad to. Well, we're traveling up the highway toward Augusta, Georgia. We get about Swainsboro, Georgia, and some blue lights come on behind the hearse. Pulled us over to the side. He moved up to the window, and he said, may I see your driver's license, sir? And the gentleman handed him the driver's license, and he said, do you realize how fast you were going? He said, yeah, we're trying to make it to Augusta to have a funeral this afternoon. And he said, I'm going to let you go, but try to observe the speed limit if you don't mind. Well, we pulled out and started on up the road, and I said, if he'd given you a ticket, who would have had to pay it? I said, I wasn't driving the car. You were driving. You'd have had to pay it. Is that right? Yeah. Actually, he said Jack would have paid it. I said, it didn't even affect him. He didn't even know the law stopped. Had none effect on him whatsoever. Why? Because he's dead. Now, if you listen to that, it'll help you the rest of your days. Crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ means I died with Him. The law has no dominion over a dead man. It's already administered its effect. It can't go any farther. No wonder the songwriter said, free from the law, oh perfect condition. Jesus has died and I have remission. It's over with as far as the law is concerned. But if you're not careful, you're going to fall into the same pit that most Baptists have fallen into down through the years. And you're going to begin to say, oh, I've got to do, I've got to do, I've got to do, I've got to do. First of all, I'm going to tell you that you cannot please God. You cannot please God. There's only one person who ever pleased God. Wonder who that is? Jesus Himself. Isaiah 53, verse number 11. And He, God, shall see the travail of His, Christ, soul, and shall be satisfied. Well, how about that? Didn't say He's going to see the good works of Larry and be satisfied. What does He tell us our good works are? Filthy rags. The very best we can do is filthy rags. Quit spinning your wheels trying to please God, who is already pleased by His darling Son, and just recognize that you're in Christ, and being in Christ, God is pleased. You're not going to do anything to please Him more so. You say, well, Brother Larry, does that mean that I can just do anything? Yeah, it means you'll do anything the Holy Ghost leads you to do. And anything the Holy Ghost leads you to do will be pleasing to God. Amen. Amen. But anything you do on your own is spinning your wheels in the mud. You're accomplishing nothing. Sanctification is the work of the Spirit of God in us, through us, by His power alone. I must be obedient, but it is the power of God that makes me a just soul in His presence. Righteousness doesn't come by the law. Now watch the remainder of this verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Did you get it? Yet not me. It's not me that's living now. It's Christ in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. How many Bible teachers have missed this and tried to make this a spiritual thing? In the flesh. You're alive in the flesh. And no matter how much you try to be spiritual, you're still in the flesh and will be until you either die or the rapture comes. Which I now live in the flesh, I live, here's that term again, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I do not frustrate. This word is the word athelio, and it literally means to set aside or violate. I do not set aside. I do not violate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, is that a powerful argument or is that a powerful argument? And if you don't think that's enough, then just continue the reading, if you will, on chapter number 3. Paul sews this thing up well and shows us that righteousness, the Spirit of God, the very giving of the Spirit to the individual is not by works, but by faith. Isn't it strange? You can claim absolutely nothing by your works in the heavenly kingdom, but you can claim it all by faith. Glory. Yes. Hallelujah. What a glorious privilege. By faith, just believing God in this circumstance, just believing that God Himself is, that Christ has paid the price for your sin, that He is your Savior. And by faith, all that God has is yours. You can't pay for it and you can't earn it. It's all by faith. That's a glorious, glorious thought. Now let's come, if you will, to chapter number 3, and let me, just for a moment, I'll not be able to do all of this evening, but let me just touch on this, if I may. In verses 1 and 2, I want you to note the Holy Ghost is freely given. Verse number 2, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, are by the hearing of faith." One more time. The answer is by the hearing of faith. Faith, then, is the free gift of God to us. Faith being the free gift now, as I said moments ago, gives us all the free things that God has. I was speaking with someone the other day, and it may have been one of the kids, I don't remember. But anybody, the statement was made, "Oh, I like free things." But do you know that most church folks don't like free things? You'll go head over heels, run over everybody in town, try to get to somewhere where they're giving away free stuff. God has all kinds of free stuff. And we're not anxious to get it. We feel like we have to pay for it. We're living in a nation now because of the past administrations, not just the last one, even though it was pitiful. And you're welcome. But we're living in a nation now that is a nation of "I want free stuff." Don't want to work for it. They want somebody to give it to them. Are you listening to me? The church, however, is not following the same route. We don't want the free stuff that God has for us. We want to work for it. Somebody told us a lie back there, and we believed it, that we have to work to get it. But the book says it's free stuff. Paul's argument here is it's free stuff. This is free. God gave it by faith. Anytime you receive anything of God, you receive it by faith, not by works. If you think you've received something by works, you might better check the place of its manufacturing. I'd give it what we used to call in the electronic world the sniff test. You might find out that it smells like sulfur. You are understanding what I'm saying? Much of the so-called free stuff that we find ourselves laboring for is out of hell. Much of the preaching we hear tonight is out of hell. Did you read the condemnation that Paul puts upon the preachers, the teachers of a false gospel? Let's look at that. Turn back, if you will. Verse number, let me pick it up at verse number 6 of chapter 1. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, Now hang on to that another gospel, for he says, which is not another. In other words, it's not the real thing. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine? Do you suppose that that's happening in our day? What a perversion. I listen to these radio preachers till I get so disgusted I have to turn the radio off. I won't even turn a television preacher on. I'll watch a Western any day before I listen to a television preacher. Hello? You say, well, maybe there's a good one out there. I'm looking for him. But there be some that trouble you. Verse number 8 now. Listen carefully. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which was preached unto you, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This word is a strong word. Its first meaning is be excommunicated. Now the term excommunicate doesn't mean that somebody just said, hey, you don't need to come to church here anymore. It means they were literally thrown out on their ears. Let him be accursed. And then in verse 9, look at it. As we said before, if you didn't hear it the first time, I'm going to say it again. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Anathema. This is the New Testament reading. By the way, let me assure you of something that most people will never learn in their lifetime. The revelation of the church of Jesus Christ does not come in the Gospels. It doesn't show up in the book of Acts, but it shows up in the writings of the Apostle Paul. The Magna Carta of the church is through the Apostle Paul. He received it as a revelation from Christ. Look at on further down in that same chapter, chapter 1, verse number 12. I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't learn this in seminary. I didn't learn this sitting on the Sanhedrin. I learned this by revelation of Jesus himself. Now, I suppose that the head of the church knows what the church ought to be. And he reveals to the Apostle Paul the gospel of the grace of God. You can get fouled up trying to preach the gospel of the grace of God in the Gospels, even though it is there. You can definitely get fouled up trying to preach it in the book of Acts, even though it is there. But it comes clear in the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and so on. It's clear as a bell. It's the grace of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the grace of God Almighty. By grace, through faith. God gives us free stuff. And the greatest of that free stuff is the Holy Ghost. He himself, the person of God, living in these vessels of clay. Oh, it's impossible. Mr. Armstrong, some years ago, I was driving back from the hospital in Jacksonville back to our place of service, a little north of Jacksonville, and the radio was on, and Mr. Armstrong came on, and one of the first statements he made was, it's foolishness to think that God can live in man. Let me tell you that it is foolishness to think that God does not live in man. Because the Scripture plainly declares that He does. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said in His prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, I in them, and they in me. Now you figure that out. I mean, you're not to be a scholar to figure that out. Jesus lives in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that lived in the body, the human body of Jesus Christ while on this earth, that lives inside Larry Montgomery tonight, inside every believer in this place tonight. It is Christ's Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, freely given by faith. Free stuff. Free stuff. God help us to understand that the Spirit comes by faith. Not by works, by faith. I think we could sum up the whole of this book. Now, there's several other places that we'll touch on in our future studies in this particular book. But I think we could sum it all up tonight by saying this. Salvation, God's Spirit in man is free. To you and I, it's free. A number of years ago, Dad had an old worn out overcoat. One of the men in the church mentioned to him that he needed to get an overcoat. I heard the conversation. You may have heard it. He said, you know, and Daddy said, well, I know I need one, but I just can't afford it at this time. 3 or 4 days passed, and Dad went into Jim Chambers in Elizabeth. And he said, Warren, come over here a minute. Look at these overcoats. Dad looked at those overcoats and he said, I can't afford them. He said, look at these overcoats and pick out one that you like. Dad looked through them and he said, well, that not there. He said, that fits me well. And said, this ought to do. He said, but I can't afford this. He said, it's free. Somebody already paid for it. That man had gone into that store and said, when Warren Montgomery comes in here, you let him have the best coat in this store if he wants it. Whichever one, it's already paid for. I'm going to tell you tonight that salvation by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit within our hearts, is free stuff. It's paid for. Christ paid for it. Every last little bit bought and paid for. It's yours. Hallelujah. It's mine. Yeah. Glory. Yeah. God's little children living on soda crackers and cheese when we could be enjoying the good things of glory. Amen. Grow up. It's free stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy it. Father,